Very good. Open your Bibles, please. Open your Bible to Psalms. Psalm, please. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, your Bible, please. Psalm 78. All right. What a great song. Thank you. Boy, if you can't preach after that, I don't think you can preach, right? That was great. Thank you. Psalm 78, please, and I'd like for you to follow along with me as we read verse 70 through 72 of Psalm 78. The Bible says, "He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds." I want to speak to you this morning somewhat of an overview of some things regarding David and what I would call the training time of his life. The training time of his life. You're in training here, sitting through chapel today and being engaged in what's going on, observing how things are ordered and organized and structured. This is a part of your training. Some things people will tell you specifically, hey, you need to get this. Some of these things you'll pick up on just simply because you're under them. But we're all being trained. That's why it's important who we're with and where we're at, what we're observing, because we're learning. We cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so you're seeing things and you're hearing things. Many of the things that I have applied in my life, both in my home and now in ministry for these years, were things that I did not realize at the time. I was learning. I was just around them and I was picking them up. And I'm thankful that my parents, and I'm thankful for the Lord that in His divine leadership, He would place me in a ministry and under leadership that would teach me and show me things and instruct me in a way that's been very beneficial to my life and out of those that follow me. So thankful for you that you're here, and I hope that you'll give me a good hearing. I think today I'll be helpful. I think I'll maintain your attention if you'll let me, and I think we'll all leave here today recognizing some things that we can all work on. So let's pray, and we'll get right to it. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness. What a great God you are. You are certainly worthy to be praised. Not only would you create us, but then that you would come and then you would save us. And then, Lord, that you would come and live within us. And then, Lord, that you would give us a purpose so that in these years that we sojourn here as pilgrims, we would know exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And that's living for you. And then you've equipped us with your word, with your spirit. Then you've given us people to help us to be educated and edified, to encourage us and to instruct us. And then, Lord, we come to your word now in awe and reverence of the holiness and the inspiration of it, the preservation. God, we believe today that you would have something for each of us. Lord, anytime your word is open, anytime your name is claimed and proclaimed, we should be attentive and we should really apply ourselves. Lord, I'm sorry for the times that I did not. Lord, it is my desire with the rest of my life to apply my heart and incline mine heart to that which you'd have for me. Help us now in all that's said and done, Lord, may it be helpful to your people whom you love very, very much. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Second to the Lord Jesus Christ, the name David is mentioned in the Scripture. 59 times in the New Testament, something that David was used by God to say or something that took place in his life is mentioned. 66 chapters are given to the life of David. God shows you everything, I believe, in the life of David. I think that we track his life when no one knew him but God. I think he was even obscure to his own family. You remember that Samuel came to visit Jesse, his father, and he was looking for the king that God had in that household. And all of David's brothers, seven brothers, had passed before the prophet. And Samuel had to ask Jesse, is there any other sons? And he said, I've got one. That's David, and he's tending the sheep. And he said, send for him, and send for him immediately. Of course, the Lord had given Samuel instruction that this was going to be the king that he had promised that would be a king after his heart. You see, King Saul, the first Saul of Israel, was a king after his own heart. But David, imperfect as he might have been, like all of us, something about David that was unique. David had a heart for God. And I can relate to that because I too, in all my imperfection, I recognize that I'm not perfect, but there is something that the Lord began to develop in my life, and it's something that continues to be developed, and that is to have a heart for Him. And let me say, that's a constant work. Because as we grow in life, our hearts can grow cold. They can grow indifferent. As we deal with trials and tragedies in life, as we deal with burdens in life, our hearts can become heavy. And sometimes our hearts can just simply be careless, or sometimes they can be self-centered. And at times I've felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit
as He corrects my heart. Even this morning as I was driving up and spending time reflecting and thinking about my life and drinking lots of coffee, I felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit correcting me and showing me something in my life and in my heart. I came to the college this morning. I went to the restroom there, as I often will do, to get ready for class for the first thing. And it was so heavy on my heart that I had to say to God, I get it. I see what You're doing. I see what You're saying, because I want to be tender to Him. I want my heart to be yielded to Him. And I would ask you here in just these few moments that I'll communicate with you, and one of the greatest decisions that I made as a young adult was I was going to listen. I was going to apply myself to what was being said. I was going to try to understand it. And then I was going to go out and I was going to reflect on it. And when I began doing that, preacher, I couldn't believe. I was aggravated with myself and all the things that I had missed because I hadn't done those things. And I thought to myself, of all the things that I have heard over the years that I could have really absorbed and thought about, I waited all these years to finally get it. And I did, and I'm glad that I did. And I've still got plenty to get, and so do you. And so David's life can be divided in the Scripture, and I think God gives us David as that picture. You will see David grow and blossom and develop. You'll see his training time. You'll see his testing time. You'll see the time of his triumphs. God is even honest regarding his transgressions and even the troubles that that creates in his life. And yet through all of that, the Lord gave us in David such sweet things as Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's David who's quoted in Romans chapter 4 in verses 6 through 8, which is a passage that deals with justification by faith. And it is David who is able, by the inspiration of God, to utter such words and the blessing that it is and having a God who would not impute iniquity, would not record sin or unrighteousness against him. It's the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, who would cry out and ask that the Lord would restore unto him the joy of thy salvation. This is just my opinion, but I suspect of all the Old Testament saints, David got more of what you and I understand today about salvation than any of them. There was something that God did and worked in his life and how God led him and directed him. There was something unique and remarkable about him. The Bible says of David in his early years that he went and came in and out, and people watched him and observed his life, and they saw that he behaved himself wisely. I bring you now to Psalm chapter 78, and we look together again, please, at verses 70 through 72. The Bible says he chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. You're here today, and I don't know exactly everything about your story, but I know that there was something about David's story that you and I have in common. You see, David's story doesn't start here. David's story starts back in the book of Ruth. As a matter of fact, you know who Ruth is because of who David became. The last verse of the book of Ruth explains to you the descendants that came from Ruth. It tells us about an Obed that was born, and then a Jesse that was born, and then a David that was born. David stands tall in the Old Testament, not only because of all that God did through him, but what God promised him. You'll remember that God entered into a covenant agreement with David, the Davidic covenant, that there would be an eternal throne that would come from his household. It's that eternal throne that someday the Lord Jesus Christ will step down from heaven and will come into this world and will sit on that throne and will rule and reign on the throne of David. And Israel, a nation, will experience those blessings that God had promised to them. God gave David that promise. God gave David that David would become king. He would become a conquering and victorious king. He would become a hero to the people of Israel. But before any of those things, it's a story of grace. Because there was a little gal named Ruth who was of the Moabites, who were the enemies of the people of God, who, because of poor decision-making on behalf of a man by the name of Elimelech and his wife Naomi, took two sons away from Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, the place of blessing. They left because of famine. They went down to a land to sojourn, and while they were there, tragedy beheld them and came upon them, befell them. The husband died. The two sons that married girls from that area, they died as well. You know the story. Naomi eventually looked and said, "I've got nothing here. I've got no inheritance here. I've got no one to look after me here. I'm going to go back to where I belong." The two daughter-in-laws started out with her, and you'll remember one was easily dissuaded and went back to her people, but oh, Ruth would not be. She would not. She said, "Your people, my people." Big statement. Because her people, meaning the people of Israel, were people that her people hated. But more than the acceptance of her nation, she said, "Your God, my God." And she went alongside of Naomi, and they went back, and you know the story of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, who came alongside of her and loved her. And then from that union, there came offspring, and then eventually would come David from that very household. You see, their story and our story is a story of grace. Were it not for grace, none of us would be here. Were it not for the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he came into this world, just as they sang a moment ago, and lived and died and rose again. I don't know where you're from. I don't know the problems that you faced. I don't know the complications or the burdens that you carry, but I know this. We are all have the same foundation, and we're all being built on the same thing, and that is the wonderful grace of God, that unmerited favor. And you may look around this morning, you may see people who know how to tie their tie better. They know how to dress themselves better. They may have a better Christian education than you have. You may look around and see people who are more talented. Maybe they're able to stand in front of people in a more eloquent way than you. And you may wonder, where do I fit into all of this? Hey, listen, I tell you, we all have the same foundation. That's the grace of God. There is no pedigree here that comes from knowing somebody. It's because of who knows us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful because that encourages me, because I can't sing and I didn't do so great talking in front of folks either, but I determined something. I determined that I would pursue the Lord. And I determined that I would do all I could to have and continue to have and correctively have a heart for Him, a heart in my decisions, a heart in my passions, a heart in my appetites. And we see here where God finds David. He finds him serving in the sheepfolds. With all this information regarding David and recognizing the foundation of grace that we share, let me give you a few statements about his training, and then let me ask you today, from this perspective, someone trying to help you, where are you at in these areas? Be honest with yourself. Allow the Lord to search you. Allow the Lord to point out to you. Allow the Lord to bring into your mind right now, are these areas that I need to grow? Are these areas that I need to develop in? Here's the fantastic thing. There is someone in you. The Holy Spirit of God. And He has begun a work and He will finish that work. And right now you're in the process of that work and He wants for you to experience to the fullest all the fruit of the Spirit. He wants to see your life blossom and grow. He wants there to be love and joy and peace and hope. And He desires that you would bring glory to the Father that way. And that through that testimony you would bring others to Christ and fruit would be born and God would be pleased. With that in mind today, and recognizing how important it is that we glorify Him. Let's be honest as we approach this time in David's life of training and see where we're at. Number one, I would have you to recognize that David was a person who could be trusted. David could be trusted. The Bible says in Psalm 78 and verse 71 that David was called or was chosen from the sheepfolds. He was someone who could handle responsibility. That may seem simple to you, but it's so important. The Lord Jesus said, hey, if you'll not be faithful in little matters, why should you expect that you would be faithful in larger matters? There are things when we're in college that can be tiresome and at times even seemingly burdensome. They're the little details. But friend, it's the little details in life and staying on top of the little details in life that God recognizes in our life to prepare us for bigger things. If I couldn't pay my bills, if I couldn't be responsible for my household's bills, then why and how could I help handle the budget of a church of $1 million a year? If I could not be trusted in my household, then how could I be trusted with the church's finances? And maybe you're struggling in that area. It's been easy for you because of the internet and how quickly money comes and money goes. And I fear for you sometimes just simply because of the structure of things. But it's also a tremendous opportunity for you to learn how to handle and to stay on top of your finances. And there are great people here to help you with that. Paying your bills, being honorable, keeping your word. If you told somebody you'd show up on Saturday to go on visitation, then either call them and tell them you're not going to make it, or text them, which is not always the greatest way, or show up. Keep your word. These are the little things. These are the little matters. Don't commit to something you can't follow through with. Don't just live with, well, I just didn't do it. Boy, as a preacher, you know, one of the things that really hurts your testimony as a minister or a school teacher, whatever you'll be involved in, is not keeping your word. I have folks who work for me and they're well-intentioned, but sometimes they don't know how to tell people I won't be able to do that. And so because they won't say those words to somebody, I get a call and says, hey, brother so-and-so said he would be here to help me move today at 10 o'clock. The truck is here and he is not here. And I'm thinking to myself, brother so-and-so is doing such and such for me. How did he think or how did she think she would ever be able to fulfill that? And they don't realize that that little act, as unfortunate as it is, and as people should be gracious and cut people some slack and be merciful, those are the little things in our testimonies that stick with people. Being on time, starting on time. These are the matters that help people to know whether or not they can trust us. David was trustworthy. David was submissive. David had leadership in his life, his father. His father had put him in the sheepfold because he could trust him. And while he was there, he was under his father's watch care. When it came time for David to be called to be underneath Samuel and to see Samuel, all it took was the word from his father to come. It's the same father who said, take some food down to your brothers at the battlefield and to those that are their leaders. And it was the same David that responded to that. It was the same David who was trusted, who was also submissive. Everybody has somebody that they're accountable to. Let me say this to you. David, it's emphasized here, his heart and his hands. And I have a little statement that I wrote in the back of my Bible some time ago, and it says this, if my heart and my hands are not as they should be, then the crown will never be placed on my head. In other words, before David could wear a crown, he had to have a heart of integrity and hands of serving. Falls right in line with the Bible when it expresses to us in 1 Peter chapter 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Philippians chapter 2 tells us to have the mind of Christ, and it says us that the Lord Jesus took on the form of a servant and humbled himself and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. But after that, his name is exalted. But it was after the submission and the serving and the humility and the obedience, and then comes the exalting. We want the crown on our head. But we have to recognize it's required of us that we learn to serve and be submissive. David was trustworthy. David was submissive. David was helpful. There was a need. David filled it. I know this. He filled the need that his brothers had. He also filled the need that King Saul had because he was skillful in playing with the harp. When Saul was tormented, they called for David to come, and David went, and he was able to be a help. Listen, I've learned some things in life. I've learned some things about myself. And I'm telling you right now that what I'm sharing with you is of the utmost importance in your training and your development. Number one, to be trustworthy. Number two, to be submissive. There were times in college when I needed to have leaders in my life who I would come to and I would say to them, help me and communicate with me what you think I ought to do. You're not my God, but you are a leader in my life and you have good understanding of who I am. You have good understanding and observation in my life. And I'm telling you, I would like for you to help me to understand and direct me in what I ought to do. And I'll listen to you. Who do you listen to? Who are your counselors? Who do you submit to? Do you have a hard time submitting at work? Do you have a hard time submitting to that boss that is annoying? Do you have a hard time dealing with that person because you don't like certain things about it? Do you ever think that maybe God has brought them into your life so that you would learn to submit there? I'm not suggesting you submit and do wrong or follow in sin, obviously, but just simply saying, hey, you're the person in authority. You're the person that's responsible for this. I'm under your authority. I will do as you ask me to do, and I will listen, and I'll not tell you how I think you ought to do it. I'll just help you out as I've been asked and has been offered to me to be a part of this, submitted. He was not only trusted and submitted, he was also helpful. He was skillful. He was skillful in playing the harp. He didn't just pick it up one day. That was something that he had put time into. I'm going to ask you something. What are you putting your time into? What are you doing with your extra time? You say, preacher, I don't have a lot of extra time. Maybe you don't now, but when you go home over break, what will you do with your extra time? In the summer months, what will you do? It's amazing to me what people have time for. It's amazing to me what people will invest their time in. You're in a place where there are so many opportunities for you to learn things. Learn all you can. If I were a young man in ministry today, let me tell you some things that I would really want to know. I would, number one, want to know how to lead singing. There's a problem today in our churches. There's a problem with having people who know how to lead singing in a good style that is pleasing to the Lord at the same time that doesn't put people to sleep. I would learn that. I would get under people. I would ask for that opportunity. I would also, gentlemen, I would get my CDL. If they offer to help you with that, you should do that. I drive a bus on Saturdays, and I don't mind it. I love doing it. I would drive a bus on Sundays if they would let me, but I have a 9 o'clock service, and it requires that I be there. But hey, I would drive all the time. I don't mind driving the bus, but one of the reasons why I drive the bus is because if I don't, the bus won't run. Now look, you get hired in by somebody, and you have a ministry that reaches people. It's going to be required of you if you're going to work with folks that you're able to drive a bus. Well, I went from deep to very practical there, didn't I, huh? I would also learn all that I could about technology in the sense of the websites and the things that they're offering to you in that way. Those are things that would be very beneficial to you to be skillful in. What I would not be successful in is watching all YouTubes. What I would not be skillful in is in video games. I would not be skillful in those things. I would find other things that are helpful and beneficial to the building in the kingdom of God. You say, are you saying they're a sin? I'm not saying they're a sin. I'm just saying they're a waste of time. And as I see it, time is the most valuable commodity that I have. And if I'm going to use it on something, I hope that when I walk away from it, I've at least learned something, I've helped somebody, or I've furthered my position in whatever it is that God's called me to do. It's just a matter of time management. David was trusted. David was submissive. David was helpful. David was skillful. David was tender. He had a tender heart. Who does the Bible tell us that David cared for? He cared for the female sheep who were what? Great with young. That's only somebody who has a heart and a care and a compassion. Why do you suppose God called David to take care of his people? Because he saw David in a humble place, serving, being faithful, being consistent, being trustworthy, being submitted, being helpful, applying himself skillfully to the harp, applying himself skillfully to his trade as a shepherd of defending the flock. And God saw that and he said, that's somebody that I can use. By the way, God used the skill set. Pastor mentioned it. When I moved here to go and start a church, I didn't have to look for a job right away. I had a job. Because while I was in college one day, they said to us, there's a place that's hiring people. If you're interested, come see Brother Sally. And so I went and saw Brother Sally, and they said, hey, there's a temporary position at a particular place. You go down there and interview for it. Maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't. And I got it, and it was temporary. It was a 3-month job. But I liked it, I enjoyed it, and they ended up liking me, and I made a good impression. And so they kept me around all the way through my years in school, 4 years that I had left. And then when they heard that I was leaving, the vice president came and said, where are you going? And I said, I'm going down to Central Indiana. He said, I've got a friend who has bought a building about 30 minutes from where you're at, and he needed somebody to manage it. I think you would be the exact guy to do that. And I said, is it because of how smart I am? He said, no, because he's not going to pay much. I said, I'm the guy. You know what? I went from that, and the Lord opened that door. And look, I'm definitely no smarter than any of you, and you're probably far more talented and skilled than I was, but I just kept showing up and doing the things that they asked me to do. And I was learning how to do that. I was learning about property management. I was learning about property maintenance. So then I went from that job to the town where we started the church. That got me down there and paid my bills for a few months. And then I met a man who was a retired doctor who owned an apartment complex. And he was looking for a property help. And so I went and became a janitor. And after a couple of weeks of helping him around there, and getting to know him, I came to him and I just said, sir, I appreciate this opportunity that you've given me. You're a great guy and I'm really happy, but your business is run, it's not you, but it's the people you have working for you. They're running it so poorly, I just feel like it reflects bad on me, and I just want you to know I'm going to be looking for something else to do. I'll stay with you as long as I can, but this is what I'm going to do. This was on a Friday morning, and he said, well, it just happens that I'm looking for a manager now. Would you like to be the manager? Are you kidding? I would like that. He said, all right, you can manage the apartments now. Now, where did I learn to manage apartments? Where did I learn to be involved in those things? By the job that I got one day by showing up at a temporary job and just saying, hey, here I am. Yeah, if you'll, I'll try it out. I'll do it. You give me an opportunity. Hey, I led that man to the Lord. That man came to our church. When that man passed away, he left $50,000 for the church and donated, his family donated a beautiful piano that I get to listen to every week. I didn't know that when I took that job. I was just taking the skills that God had given me, and it was humble. I was picking up trash and everything else for a while there at that job. I was just taking the things that God had equipped me with. I didn't go to college to do those things. It's just the things that God brought into my life. Hey, look, become skillful. If you've got a job, whatever that job is, become the best one there. Learn whatever you can there. Don't take it as just something that's filling your time, but pour yourself into that. We're to do our work as unto the... I have found in life that if I will do whatever it is, whether it's a program or decorating or painting or mowing or landscaping, whatever it is, if I will do it as if I were doing it for the Lord, I want to do the very best I can for Him. This is what causes people to rise above, so to speak, to be recognized when they have that going on for them. Not only was he helpful, skillful, he was tender. He was concerned about the sheep. He was concerned about the mamas and their babies. He had a heart for them. He desired for them that they would be cared for. That's not just anyone that can do that. That's a special person. Hey, ministry requires that you care for people in times of need. It requires that you be tender. Being a pastor and being in leadership is not a call to be a bully. No, it's a call to love. It's a call to come alongside people. Oh, don't mistake it. There's times when you're in leadership when you've got to lead, and sometimes that's not always popular and it's not always appreciated. But the thrust of leadership that the Lord has for us is to care for those in a time of need in their life. David was tender, and I'll close with this. David was protective. David fought off the lion and he fought off the bear. He was concerned. He was plugged in. Hey, listen, some things there to consider. Are you trustworthy? Are you submitted? Are you taking care of the little things? Are you becoming skillful? What are you learning? What are you growing in? Are you tender to others? Are you tender to those that are around you? Are you tender to those that you'll work with? Are you tender to those folks in your ministry? I'm thankful for numbers. I'm thankful for people. I'm thankful for large numbers. But always remember, behind large numbers, there's individuals. And whoever that individual is that God's put in your life, that's a priority. Love that person. Be tender. And then, hey, be protective. Be willing to fight off the lion and the bear. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for some time in your word and in consideration of your servant David. Help us, Lord, to serve you in a better way.